Well, the Senate has cleared the way for the most significant shake-up in years of Australia's $3.2 trillion superannuation sector. The Morrison government's controversial Your Future, Your Super reforms will come into effect after months of fierce debate. The government says it will save consumers $17 billion over 10 years, but critics warn that it could lock members into underperforming funds. Under the changes, funds will be assessed annually and poor performers will be unable to accept new members. The funds will follow workers when they change jobs so that workers don't accrue multiple accounts. Well, let's find out some more about these changes. Jane Hume is the Federal Minister for Superannuation, Financial Services and the Digital Economy. Minister, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Sally. Good to be with you.
When will these first letters go out to people notifying them that their fund is underperforming?
So the underperformance test for superannuation funds actually reflects the last 8 years of their performance. And that will accrue to the 30th of June this year. And by the 1st of October, those funds will have to go out to their members and tell them whether they have underperformed. Now, if they've performed, it's okay. That they don't need to write out to their members. But if they've underperformed by 0.5% on average over 8 years after fees, well, then they'll have to write to their members and say, hey, what was written on the box wasn't what we delivered. And those members will be sent to an online comparison tool that sits with the ATO that where they'll be able to see their own fund compared to other funds out there. And perhaps they can switch and find a fund that's better for them. Now, if those funds don't perform 2 years in a row, they won't be allowed to accept new members.
So, Minister, what about the timing? Will workers be stapled to funds before they receive these first letters?
Well, I think we need to be very clear about what stapling is. Now, no one is stuck in a fund ever. You always have the choice to leave the fund you're in and switch to another one. All stapling does is ensure that when you change jobs, your employer has to go to the ATO and find out what your existing fund is rather than open up a new one for you automatically.
But that stapling will begin before the letters first come out?
Well, no, we made an amendment to the legislation to say that the stapling will now begin on the 1st of November. So it will be after that first letter comes out.
What does your modelling tell you about how many letters you're expecting to go out?
Well, we're expecting around 20, somewhere between 21 and 25 funds of the 80 default funds out there are in fact underperforming. We think that I'm not entirely sure how many letters there will be.
So that would be millions, though.
We expect that there will be a number of people that have been languishing in underperforming funds for many years and not knowing it. They receive a statement each year saying, "Congratulations, Sally, you've got 5% on your superannuation this year," and you say, "That's fantastic," not understanding that everyone else got 8% or 9% or 12%. In fact, we think that around $10.7 billion will be saved, put back into the superannuation savings of Australians by holding those underperforming funds to account. And moreover, $2.8 billion will be saved each year by having your superannuation follow you from job to job rather than getting those duplicate accounts, duplicate fees, duplicate insurance premiums that erode your balance.
What does your modelling tell you about how many people you expect to change funds once they get these letters?
Well, one of the great problems with our superannuation system, and let's face it, our super system has served Australians well, but it's not efficient, it's not perfect. We think that a huge number of Australians are going to take the opportunity to switch because now they've got that online performance tool, comparison tool, so they can see their fund compared to other ones. One of the great inefficiencies of the system is the fact that people are disengaged, that it's a compulsory system where essentially they give up $1.10 of everything that they earn and potentially quarantine it for 40 years. Our objective is to make sure that the super system works much harder for Australians.
There are concerns that some people may run into difficulty with their life insurance that's attached to their super. What guarantees are there if people are changing jobs and changing industries, for example, going from a relatively work-safe industry to one that's more hazardous? What provisions are there to make sure they don't get caught short?
Yeah, we've tried to find some details on this, and in fact it's been difficult because by far and away the vast majority of superannuation funds have insurance policies attached to them that don't have any occupational exclusions at all. So it doesn't matter whether you started life as a barista and ended up a crane driver, if you stay with the one fund, you will still be covered for life insurance and total permanent disablement. Now that said, we did hear that message, and even though we haven't really found any evidence of it, we have charged Treasury with the job of doing a review of all insurances within superannuation.
So there's a review, but there are no safeguards actually in this legislation, is that right?
Well, there is no reason why anyone should feel that if they have life insurance within their superannuation and they switch jobs, that they wouldn't be covered. They should be covered. There are no occupational exclusions.
How many funds won't be covered by this performance benchmarking?
Well, the vast in the first tranche, it will be all the default MySuper products. Now, that is the vast bulk of products that are out there. It's certainly where the vast majority of new inflows are going to each year because, you know, those are the default products. So they're in tranche one. In tranche two, we will be dealing with products that aren't default but are trustee directed. So the ones where the trustees of super funds are deciding which asset classes to invest in.
So how long will it be until they're included?
One year. And that will cover 90% of superannuation monies out there, certainly the vast majority of the flow. There is one cohort of products that are harder to measure, and we have committed Treasury to working out a way to do that with APRA, and they will be the final tranche. And they are things like single asset class products like a gold fund, which really doesn't have an awfully a large amount of money invested in. But we do want to hold those funds to account. This is not targeting any particular sector. We want to make sure that every fund that Australians invest in are serving them well.
But these non-MySuper products, they make up a huge part of the sector, and they came in for a lot of criticism under the Banking Royal Commission. Why delay?
Because there's such a small amount of money in them. In fact, the vast majority of money is in the default MySuper products. They're the ones where the data exists. APRA is already monitoring those. We can start that immediately. The next tranche comes only 1 year later when APRA have that data, and then we'll move to other products after that, the moment that the data is available and there is a way of doing it.
The Shadow Minister, Stephen Jones, has described these changes as a dog's breakfast. How can you guarantee that workers will be better off?
Well, we can guarantee that workers will be better off if their funds are better performing. In fact, that they'll
save
$10.7 billion a year. We can guarantee that if your superannuation follows you and you don't get two sets of insurance premiums, two sets of fees, that you'll save around $2.8 billion over the next 10 years. And we can guarantee that if we reduce waste in the system through more transparency and accountability, we can save over $1 billion. And by empowering members to engage better with their super, it saves around $3 billion a year. Now, these are Treasury forecasts, Treasury estimates, but we know that taking those inefficiencies out of the system, which we've been working on for a long time, getting rid of duplicate accounts, lowering fees and putting competitive pressure on fees, getting rid of the underperforming tail of funds that are out there that have been, let's face it, hiding behind the skirts of the good performing funds for so many, many years, and making sure that insurance premiums are appropriately applied, that gets rid of an awful lot of the inefficiencies in the system that were pointed out by the Productivity Commission in 2018.
Minister, you're also Minister for the Digital Economy. Late yesterday, there were widespread outages affecting some of our largest banks and other businesses. What have you been told about what happened?
I haven't been briefed on that yet. What I can say, though, is that there's about $1.67 billion has been invested by the federal government in cybersecurity measures. We know that the banks have invested even more, so I don't think that this should be a concern to consumers.
But you haven't had a briefing on the outage yesterday?
I haven't had a briefing yet.
On another issue, we were talking earlier about the Bilawila family, and this week the Immigration Minister granted that family permission to live in community detention in Perth. Some of your coalition colleagues have called for them to be allowed to stay permanently in Australia. Tell us about your position.
Well, migration cases are so complex, and each one of them has a very unique set of circumstances. Obviously, this case is one of those, and at a human level, of course, it's very, very difficult. There's no denying that the minister's made a determination and on compassionate grounds to ensure that the family are housed together. I think that's terrific. They have appropriate medical care. They have appropriate services. The kids are going to school. But we do need to let the processes play out. There's court proceedings going on in the High Court. There's another court proceeding going on with the AAT. There's two applications to the minister.
The minister has discretion to let them stay permanently. What's your position on that? Should he let them stay?
Well, I think that that's a decision for the minister, and I know that he'll make that with an open mind and give it active consideration. But I think it's very important to know that both parents have been placed in detention under the former Labor government. They came here on boats, in 2012 and 2013. They were part of that 50,000 people that arrived on 800 boats in that period of time when 1,200 people died at sea. Now, both parents were placed in detention and they were assessed as not being owed protection under the United Nations definition. And that was done through three courts, through the AAT, through the Federal Court and the High Court. So this family have had access to every legal system available in Australia. Our position remains very clear and will remain clear that illegal maritime arrivals will not be settled in Australia because we cannot afford to go back to the chaos that we saw under Labor with those deaths at sea.
Minister, we'll need to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Sally.
That's Jane Hulme, the Federal Superannuation Minister.